Well, here we are. We're entering into the holiday season. It feels that way, doesn't it? This coming Thursday will be Thanksgiving. You'll be gathering together with people you love. It may be family, it may be friends, but you'll be celebrating Thanksgiving in some very special way. It is a uniquely American holiday. No other nation on earth has a holiday like Thanksgiving, a day that was specifically set aside for one reason, to thank the Lord God for the blessings that He places into our lives and into our homes, and to say to Him, we truly are thankful. Yet so many people this year will celebrate Thanksgiving Day, and they'll never stop to do that. There'll never be a time across the course of the day when they really stop to practice what the day is all about. They just never will think about the need for Thanksgiving. Others will say a prayer before the meal, and they'll assume, well, that prayer will do it till next year. We've gathered around the table, we've held hands, we've said a prayer, we've asked God to bless it, and I don't need to pray again till next year. Other people will not be able to celebrate Thanksgiving this year because there's this huge block in their life, and that block is, I can't be thankful because I'm too busy being preoccupied with all the things that have gone wrong. And all the grievances I have, and all the ways I've been disappointed, and how can I be thankful when I have all of these things in my mind? And some will be surrounded by all the evidences of God's blessing, and they just take it for granted. They're not thankful because it never occurs to them that there's anybody to thank. And every one of them will come to the end of the day with something missing in the middle of their souls. They are missing something that is vital, something that every one of us needs to experience if we're to live rich and full lives. And that thing that is missing is a heart of gratitude. They may come to the end of a day and they'll be surrounded by the abundance of food that they've enjoyed. They'll be surrounded by the people that they love the most. And they'll be surrounded by all kinds of evidences of God's providence in their lives. But they can't find it. They can't see it. They can't experience it. And this is what's wrong. We are designed by God Himself to be grateful people. It is part of what it means to truly experience the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And the truth is, if gratitude is missing from your life, if you can't experience true gratitude, then something's just wrong. There's a big hole in the middle of your soul, because that's what God has designed you to do. God has designed you to live a grateful life. This year you may be thinking, I don't really have many reasons for Thanksgiving. Maybe this has been a tough year. You've experienced grief or disappointment or setbacks that have taken the joy out of your life. But the Bible tells us this: we are to give thanks in all things. Not for all things, but in all things. Whatever may be happening in your life, whatever you may be dealing with today, it may be the greatest joys and the greatest pleasures that you've known. It may be some of the deepest hurt and greatest disappointment you've experienced. The Bible tells us, give thanks in all things. And Psalm 103 reminds us that no matter what may be going on in our lives, we still have great reasons for Thanksgiving. And that's what I want us to do today. We're just going to wander through some of the significant verses that we can find in Psalm 103, because they remind us of some things that you need to keep foremost in your mind as you celebrate Thanksgiving this year. The first thing is this: be thankful because you have a great God. David said it this way: bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, David is talking to the deepest part of himself. David is not just talking about a superficial kind of thanksgiving. You know what I mean? That kind of thing where you say, okay, let's bow our heads and let's pray and let's thank God before we enjoy our Thanksgiving meal. And you bow your head, but you kind of keep your eyes cracked a little bit because you've already spotted your favorite piece of turkey and you've got to get there before anybody else. It's not that kind of thanksgiving. Instead, he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord in that deepest part of who I am. Bless the Lord in that part of me that makes me his child, that recognizes his grace and his goodness. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Because the Bible reminds us we have a great God and he is worthy of our praise. To try to experience Thanksgiving together and not recognize the greatness of God is almost impossible. I hope that Thanksgiving morning, like me, you'll wake up and you'll see the sun and you'll see the goodness of God in the world around you, and you'll begin to realize we truly have a great God who is worthy of our praise. Not many people remember the greatness of God these days. The truth is, the average person is a lot like the Greeks and Romans back in the days of Jesus. You know what I mean? When they talked about the gods that they worshiped, the gods that they brought sacrifices to, the gods whose temples they erected, they thought of their gods as, our gods are just like us. They're just bigger. They're just bigger and stronger and more powerful, but they're just like us. And that's how a lot of people think about the Lord these days. If you ask someone to describe what God is like, so many times, that's exactly what they'll say. They'll say, God is a big me. He has the same desires that I have. He has the same flaws that I experience. He has the same struggles I struggle with because he's God, but he's really just a bigger version of who I am. But that is not who he is. We have a great God. What does Psalm 103 remind us of? It reminds us our God is holy. Do you know what it means to worship a holy God? That means he is not like anybody. The truth is, if you really want to be honest and straightforward in Scripture, and I ask you to complete the sentence, God is like, no matter what you say, you're wrong, because God is not like anything. God is not like anyone. God is holy, and he is high and lifted up. God is holy, and he is worthy of our praise. And when you begin to experience real gratitude, one of the things that needs to happen is you begin to realize I'm dealing with one who is far beyond anything I could possibly attain to. I am a creature, and he is my creator. I am a servant. He is Lord. Our God is holy. Our God is righteous. When you decide what is right or wrong, it's because of what he says, not what we think. Somehow, sometimes we begin to think our opinions matter way too much, but they don't, because our God is righteous. He is the very definition of what it means to be right with him. And our God is merciful and loving. When David cries out, and throughout this 103rd Psalm, as he continues to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, what he's saying is, bless the Lord because I've experienced his mercy. I've experienced his love. I've experienced his grace. I am not who I used to be, and it's all because I've come to know him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This Thanksgiving, we need to remember that our God deserves to have first place in our lives. You know, in every heart, there are two things. There is a throne and there is a cross. And each one of us have to decide who is on the throne and who is on the cross. When you worship a holy God, you put Him on the throne. And you put yourself on the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Be grateful that you have a great God. And then David says this, and be thankful because you've been given great blessings. And forget not all His benefits. How have you been blessed this year? What has God done in your life that uniquely happened just during this past year? You know, I was thinking about this the other day as I was watching the television and watching some of the news on television, and I thought, you know, we have gotten so conditioned to moan and to groan and to whine and to complain and to recognize that this world is not a perfect place. That it takes away our ability to see the incredible ways that God is blessing us all of the time. All of the time. We need to remember we have been given great blessings. You know, here's a problem too. And so often we think that the least things are the best blessings, don't we? I got a new car. What a great blessing. I had a huge meal. How God has blessed me. I looked at my bank account this morning. It's been really good this past year. How blessed I am. We take the least of the things and we make them the most important things in our lives. But it is the Lord who gives us the greatest blessings of all. You know, I can take all of those material blessings, all of those physical blessings, all those things that I think are so important, and I can pile them up and think how important they are. How important I am. And then Psalm 103 comes along and it just destroys all of those things that I thought were so important. Look at what the Bible says our great God does for you. It says He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. Isn't that an amazing thing? When I take all of those things that I've piled up and I think these blessings are so important and I'm so glad I have these things that I can hold in my hands and control with my heart. And then I begin to realize, but my God has forgiven me. My God has healed me. My God has redeemed me. This year, if you're tempted to say, you know, I just don't have any blessings this year. I just don't have anything to be thankful for. Remember this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are on your way to hell, and He stopped you. He redeemed you from the pit. There was a time when you were lost, you were without God and without hope in the world, and He saved you. And your destination when you leave this world and go into eternity is heaven and not hell. Don't tell me you don't have anything to be grateful for. There are three things I want you to recognize about how God shows His great love for you. The first thing is this, and He can do anything. He said He forgives all your diseases. He forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems you from the pit. All is a constant word. In this psalm, if you read through it from beginning to end, what you're going to find is time after time after time, He will say, the Lord does it all, the Lord does it all, the Lord does it all. Because He can do anything. And you belong to Him. Not only can He do anything, He's already doing what He promises. He's cleansing us where once we were dirty. He's healing us where we are broken, whether it's physically or spiritually or emotionally or personally. He's at work making you whole again. He is redeeming you where you have fallen. More than that, the third thing is this, and He blesses you personally. What did David say? He said, He forgives your sins. He heals your diseases. He is at work in your life. One of the great things that we can rejoice in this year at Thanksgiving is this. Not only am I blessed by God, not only am I redeemed by God, not only am I saved by God, it was all personal. It was all personal. A few weeks ago, when E.G. gave her life to Jesus, she dealt with the Lord. It was just you and him, wasn't it? It wasn't you and everybody else in this room. It wasn't you and everybody else in this world. It was you. Because the Lord is personal with each of us. And this year, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we begin to realize not only has God done what only God can do, God has done it for me in my life. And I can trust him. And I can praise him. And I can bless him. If you don't have any other reason for Thanksgiving this year, you have 1 Peter 5:7, where the Bible says, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And then the psalm says this, be thankful, you have a great salvation. An ungrateful heart will always demand what it deserves. All I want is what's coming to me. All I want is what I deserve. I want the things that I have earned in this world. A thankful heart sees things in a completely different way. Thank God I did not get what I deserve. Thank God he blessed me not because of who I am, but in spite of who I am. Thank God for all that he's done for me. Thank God that I get so much more than I have ever earned. There's nowhere in the Bible where the mercy of God is described more powerfully than the 103rd Psalm. Listen to what he says, beginning with verse 8. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. But as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. If you don't hear anything else I've said today, never before, nothing after, hear this passage. God's great mercy and his powerful salvation. What I love is that this passage doesn't say, and when all of life is over and you've done everything you could possibly do, then God will tote it all up and he will decide whether you've been good or bad, whether you're worthy or unworthy. What does it say? As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions. Has removed. I heard a man who once described what it was like to argue with his wife. He said, when my wife gets serious, she doesn't get hysterical, she gets historical. Aren't you glad God never gets historical with us? When he deals with sin, he handles it completely. When he forgives us absolutely. You know, often when sharing the gospel with children, we may read John 3:16 together, for God so loved the world, but you know what you do? You say, now let's take out the world and let's put your name in there so that it says, for God so loved Jim Cooley that he gave his only begotten son. And you can insert your own name there as well. If you want a reason for Thanksgiving, do the same thing with this passage of the Psalms. He has not dealt with Jim Cooley according to his sins, nor punished Jim Cooley according to Jim Cooley's iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward Jim Cooley, who fears him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed Jim Cooley's transgressions from him. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities Jim Cooley, who fears him. And you insert your own name there, and you discover how much God cares for you. And David says, be thankful. You have a great hope. Not only does he heal our hurts today, not only does he remove our sins from yesterday, our great God has given us a promise for tomorrow. Verse 17 says, for the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. From everlasting to everlasting. Joe, you were talking a little while ago about trying to count to 10,000. Imagine what everlasting to everlasting is like. To recognize from the very beginning to the very end, God's mercy is there. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. God has given you eternal life. That makes it easier to endure. It makes it easier to stand strong. It makes it easier to be thankful and to pass the blessing along. On Thanksgiving, we gather as families. We thank God for children and grandchildren. And we pass on a heart of faith and gratitude. If I were going to tell you what to do this coming Thursday, whoever you may be with and whatever you may be having, I would simply tell you, remember this. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Thursday you gather to say thank you to the one who has loved you from everlasting to everlasting, who has loved you and forgiven you and redeemed you and given you eternal life. Make sure that this is a day not just of turkey and dressing, but a time to really stop and remember. We have a gracious God who blesses us in every possible way. Open your heart to God's great guidance. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. We were baptizing a little while ago and you were thinking, that's never happened in my life. There's never been that time when I've asked Jesus to forgive me and to come into my life and made the decision, I'm going to follow him as a disciple. Today may be the day when that's exactly the decision you need to make. In a moment, we're going to sing our invitation hymn, and I'm going to be here, and Dr. Hutchins will be here. We would love to introduce you to Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're recognizing, I need a church family. I need to plant myself in a fellowship that I love, and today I want to become part of First Baptist Church. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. As God speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together.